Okay. That's the already aspect of redemption. What about this not yet? What do we mean by the not yet? Full redemption, my friends, won't be complete until when? When Christ returns. The second coming of Christ, the great day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, whatever you want to call it, is still yet to happen. The job's not finished yet until Christ comes in his final victory. The Bible tells us, and on that great day of the Lord, the dead in Christ shall rise. So, not to worry. If you're not around when Christ comes back, guess what? You're going to beat those alive who are there. Because the dead in Christ shall rise first and meet him in the air. Those who have died in the faith with glorified bodies, the same risen body that Christ, type of body Christ had when he was raised from the grave. That's good news. For you see, Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. He came to earth over 2,000 years ago to live among us, to teach us about God, to teach us the teachings of God, the kingdom of God. He suffered, he died, he was buried, but he rose again. And this is our hope. Because you see, it is in the resurrection that changed everything. And this is our hope. And this hope is no dream. It's not wishful thinking. It's not a vision. It's the expected, fervent hope that's called the rock of our salvation, the anchor of our soul, the living hope that's received by every believer. But it's only a deposit. It is only a partial payment. The best is yet to come. And this hope extends beyond humankind to creation. For you see, all of creation is waiting in eager expectation for what he will do. Like a pregnant woman who is about to deliver a child. And this should bring us great joy and peace. For no matter how bad things seem here on earth, no matter how desperate the situation is, no matter how difficult the suffering, hold firm and stand fast, people of God. The best is yet to come. There is hope because of the resurrection. There is a better day coming. And even in everyday life, we know that there's a better day coming. Things will get better. How do we know this? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. The resurrection is proof that God's in control and not you and not me. And God promises to do what? To make all things new. All things new. Not just our souls, but all of creation when he returns. The Bible tells us that not only will our bodies be redeemed, but so will creation. Peace and harmony will be restored as it was in the Garden of Eden. Revelation 21 tells us, John the Revelator, writing from the island of Patmos in exile, shares this vision. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. This they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Just as God walked with Adam in the cool of the evening, God will be amongst his people on earth, on the new and renewed earth as it was in the beginning. But something's got to happen before that takes place, doesn't it? The Lord must purge the earth of all evil, of all injustice, and all violence. How do we know this? Peter refers to it in his second letter. But the day of the Lord, Peter writes, will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, here's a great question. What kind of people ought you to be? What kind of people ought you to be? Peter asks. You ought to live, he answers the question right here, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. And speed it's coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to, get this, a new heaven and a new earth, where righteousness, not evil, not oppression, not violence, will reign. And then after this grand finale, after this great purging of evil, which is the judgment, the old earth will be renewed and remade as it was in the beginning. The prophet Ezekiel gives us a glimpse of it here in this 36th chapter. This is what the sovereign Lord says, Ezekiel writes. On the day I cleanse you from all your sins, I will resettle your towns, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass through it. They will say, this land was laid waste, that was laid waste, has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations around you will remain, will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. That's a promise, folks. I will do it. God has promised to do all that. And what is this new creation like? Prophet Isaiah gives us a glimpse. He says he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness. He will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Picture this, if you can. The wolf will lie with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The lion, get this, will eat straw like an ox. Transformation? Sounds like it. An infant will play near the cobra's den. The young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. And they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Folks, this is a message about good news. It is good news because on this third Sunday of Easter, we remember Christ is risen. Okay, just checking. Just checking, see if you remember. And because he lives, we and all of creation have hope. Not just hope, but a living hope. In closing, let me just share this one last scripture from the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, Revelation 22. John the Revelator writes this passage in that chapter. And then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, and on each side of the river stood a what? A tree. The tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Oh, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Did you catch that? We are only given a glimpse of what full redemption means to us and to creation. But at the center of redemption of God and creation is what? A tree. The vision of a tree. A tree with 12 crops of fruit, one for each month, and leaves for the healing of the nations. We have some beautiful forest land in our state, don't we? I love going up here behind the museum and sitting in that little park with the fountain and looking at those beautiful trees. I love going out to Cape and Lopen and seeing the pine trees and the hardwoods out there as well. And riding through Redden Forest, of course. In fact, the state just added several hundred more acres of woodland to the state forest system. It was in Cape Gazette this past week, and I'm so glad to hear that. But we can only imagine how beautiful and how glorious these woodlands and this earth will be when Jesus returns, when God makes all things new. In the meantime, we have work to do. Because remember, we are part of that redemption story. What do we do? Today is a call to make the kingdom of God a reality here and now, just as it is in heaven. We are called to be good stewards of our forest and all of our natural resources, of course. But today, I'm focusing on the forest. How? Well, we can begin by thanking God for the forest and asking for God's help to take care of our woodlands. We can support legislation that provides funding for forest land conservation. We can encourage innovative development strategies that protect open spaces and greenways. We can do something as simple as planting a tree. By the way, I was fully intending on bringing a great big washtub full of pine seedlings for you all to take home today, but I missed the tree planting campaign of the State Forest Service by one day. And I missed bringing those in. I did that one year at a church, and everybody was blown away. They were able to take a pine tree home with them and plant it in the ground. It's a little late for tree planting, so I was told. So I apologize for that. We can participate by buying wood and paper products, which come from sustainable forests. We can recycle. We can commit to practicing stewardship in our own backyards. And as I told the children earlier, just go take a walk in the woods. Just walk through the forest. Or Herschel Porter's backyard, if you will. He's got lots of trees. The point here is, we can do something. We can take care of our earth, because it is our God-given responsibility to cultivate and to care for all that God has given us, particularly our forest lands. I would invite you to join me in the litany, which is printed on the screen behind me. And I'd like for you to respond with the congregational response. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. That is the message for this day. Go forth and take care of God's good creation.